Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we dealt with the difficult passage of eating one's flesh and blood, and we talked about the metaphor, we talked about the Spirit of God in that statement, and we talked about the people who just could not handle the claims that Jesus made on their lives, and they walked away. But we can understand that because the folks who walked away were groupies. These were people who had heard about Jesus, and they gathered almost like a campaign rally. You know, when you're at a campaign, there are people who come just for the excitement, just because they want to see the candidate, want to hear what they say, want to cheer, and then they go home. And those are the people, some of them get persuaded and others do not. And that was the same with Jesus. He went from town to town and some people were persuaded and some weren't. But then there were the disciples. They're like the campaign workers who don't just go to one campaign event, but go from place to place. And those are the people who are converted. Those are the people who really want to know what the candidate has to say. And when the candidate says something dumb, they're the spin doctors, because they're absolutely convinced that that candidate is the right person. And that's like these disciples. They were absolutely convinced of Jesus. So they went with him everywhere. And it wasn't just a few. There were people in every town that when he went and they were so convinced, they would follow him to the next town. There were probably hundreds of disciples. These were people who had heard him speak over and over again. And I'm sure they loved it when Jesus gave the religious elite what for. I'm sure they loved it when he put religious snobs in their place. I'm sure they loved it when they saw him heal the sick and raise the dead and take care of the blind and teach so beautifully. I'm sure they loved following Jesus. Until this very day. This particular day, they heard the crowds grumble about Jesus' claims. But they weren't happy either. And they said, this is a very difficult saying. Now, as I explained last week, they weren't grossed out by what he was saying. What he was talking about is being spirit-filled. And he was saying that they had to be filled with his spirit. And that's what disturbed them. That claim was beyond a good teacher and healer. And so many of his disciples said, this teaching is difficult, not in understanding, but in accepting. Who can accept it? So instead of trying to placate them, instead of saying, well, let's talk about this. We don't want to lose you. You're good people. He said, oh, you think that's offensive? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? And I'm sure the image that came into their minds was that old story about Jacob when he made a rock his pillow. And in his dream, he saw a ladder going up to the throne of God and angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And it was as if Jesus was saying, I'm the ladder. And I ascend to the Father, and I descended to you. And they were mortified. This was a claim they could not handle. And so the Bible says that many left him. It didn't matter that he taught well. It did not matter that he healed. They could not handle this claim, and they left. And so he turned to those 12, which, by the way, included Judas. And I'm sure he said with a tear in his eye, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And Peter, the spokesperson, said, we can't leave. You've got us hooked. There's no way we can leave. Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. The claims of Jesus are not just about following a moral path, which is good. The claims of Jesus are not just about being good people. The claims of Jesus are not even only about praying and having our prayers answered. The claims of Jesus go beyond that, to him having full possession of us. I want to tell you why I preach in a Moravian church. I was not Moravian when I was being raised. I was in a very different tradition. I had heard probably 1,000 sermons in my lifetime. I not only went to morning service, there was evening service, there was midweek service, and I went to all of them. I probably went to countless Bible studies by the time I was in my 20s. I sang in the choir. I knew Jesus before I had the words to pronounce Jesus. And in my 20s, I started to search. And I remember at that time that my mother was attending the church of my childhood. My sister was in a denomination that was similar to ours. And I walked into the Moravian church, not because I had read up on the history, not because I looked at all the doctrines and said, this is what interests me. It was because it was around the corner from the house. I mean, that was a good theological reason. It was convenient. And I knew some of the folks because they lived in the neighborhood. So I walked in. Now, the church that my mother was attending had a choir of about 30 people. They had a magnificent music program. They had excellent preaching. They had a church full every Sunday. The church that my sister was attending, the preacher was well known on Staten Island, and he would often fill other pulpits because he was so popular and an excellent orator. The church that I walked into, the first thing I noticed was the musty smell, because they had built that church over a spring. That was before they understood those things. And so that musty smell could never go out of the church. They didn't have the income to work on the church, so it was in pretty dilapidated condition. It was also a second-story walk-up, because when people built the church, they didn't think anybody would age. And there was no elevator in the church and no way to make it accessible. Fortunately, I was young. The preacher had a very thick, heavy Jamaican accent. I could understand about every other word. And when he'd want to make an especially important point, he'd drop his voice to a whisper. And I had better hearing in those days, but I still couldn't understand half of what he was saying. There might have been 30 people in the pews. And every afternoon, I would go home to Sunday dinner, and my sister, my mother, and I would compare notes. And we'd talk about the sermon, we'd talk about the music, we'd talk about whatever was happening in church that day. And my sainted mother would say, "Only Dawn heard from Jesus today." A few years later, I asked my mother, who at that time became an elder in the Moravian church, in that same church, I said, "Mom, that was a big stretch for you. The hymnody was not the same. We had no understanding of liturgy. Why would you go into a church that was so foreign to you?" And she said, "Well, Dawn, I'm your mother. I love you. But you were a real beast growing up. You weren't a nice person. and I saw a profound change in you. And so I wanted to come to that church to say thank you. You know what the profound change was? Oh, I knew all about the Bible. I had read it by the time I was 12 years old. I knew the doctrines of the church. But in that little place, I found Jesus. And that made all the difference in my life. Being a Christian is more than reading the Bible and understanding and living a good, upright life. Being a Christian is taking on the very life-giving force of Jesus within us. I have been challenging us each week to add different things to our prayers. And so this week, I think the prayer needs to be, Lord, I want more of you. May that be our heart's desire. And then we can allow Jesus to saw off some of those rough edges. Let us pray. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, my friend, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Lord, for a life that is wrapped up in you, we ask that you would enter each of our lives and hearts so that we might reflect your grace, your beauty, and your love each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.